सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. Welcome to you all. We have a very special meditation that we do at our ashram. We do once a year. And this is the date, this being New Year's Eve. So this meditation is a meditation in which we review our entire lives. I'll introduce it and set it up properly. And New Year's Eve, or around the New Year, is a perfect time for this particular meditation because it deals with decision-making. At the time of the New Year is a time when we sometimes reflect on our lives. Perhaps we should reflect on our lives and the decisions we've made, where those decisions have brought us, and what decisions we're to make for the future. January 1st is a superb time for that kind of reflection on our lives. To live our lives without thinking about where we're going is equivalent to driving without having a concept of where you're driving to, right? Think about it. Would you get into your car and drive without having a destination in mind? Unlikely. Well, suppose you're living your life without a sense of direction. Where are you going? What is coming next? This is silly. In fact, there's a famous quote in Western philosophy. This quote is attributed to Socrates, I believe. We don't know for sure. But the quote is, "An unexamined life is not worth living." How's that? An unexamined life is not worth living, in the view of that philosopher. May have been Socrates. We don't know. So, what we're going to do today, then, is to examine our lives, and examine our lives specifically with regard to direction, what direction we're taking in life. And direction has everything to do with the decisions we make. Just like when you're driving a car, you decide turn left, you decide turn right, you decide not to turn left or right and keep going straight. These are all decisions you make, which then translate into the destination that you arrive at. In the same way, we could accurately observe that the way our lives evolve are largely the result of the decisions we make. Notice I said largely, because we all acknowledge the force of karma, that there are other factors that we can't anticipate. But even that being so, even though karma does affect our lives, we still have free will. We still are piloting our car. Sorry, I have to share with you my guru's joke. He said, "You always have free will," was the context of it. He says, it's just like when you're in a car. You have, pardon my accent, he says, you have a free will. Free will. And with your free will, you are piloting your car, driving your car, as it were. All right. So, karma is a fact, but it's equally a fact that the decisions we make have tremendous consequences in our life, especially in determining the direction that we take. So let's examine this. When we look back on our lives, we can observe that we've made some pretty good decisions. We can also observe that we've made some pretty stupid decisions or blunders. Both are true. And let's begin by acknowledging that making mistakes is inevitable. It's as inevitable as making wrong turns when you're driving to a new place. No one is perfect. No one is going to be able to drive without making a mistake. In the same way, none of us can live our lives without making mistakes about what decisions, what directions we take, etc. Decisions are inevitable. My guru, talking about this very topic, he said, it's inevitable that we'll make mistakes because, listen, watch his logic. Whenever you make a decision, You make the decision based on what you know today. What you know today is always partial knowledge. It's never full knowledge because we don't know the future. So when we make a decision today based on partial knowledge of the situation, it's inevitable that sometimes the missing information today will lead us to make a wrong decision today, which we'll only discuss tomorrow, which we'll only discover tomorrow. What can we do? We can't read the future. None of us are omniscient. In fact, some of us have a problem spelling the word omniscient. What to speak of being omniscient. So, if we understand that the decisions we make in life have tremendous consequences in the directions we take and how our life unfolds, and if we admit that every decision we make today is based on partial information because we can't see into the future, what can we possibly do to ensure that the future decisions we are going to make, the decisions we're going to make today on New Year's Eve, tomorrow on New Year's Day, and the decisions we're going to make every day, what can we do to ensure that those decisions are as good as possible? Certainly, it would be helpful if we could see into the future. We can't. But we can, and what we will do in our meditation session, is an exercise that can give us some insight into the future. And I'll describe that in just a few minutes. But just before we do, let me share with you a metaphor that I find very useful. This is not a traditional metaphor. This is something that just came, I suppose. And it's based on a maze. I think most of you know that in fall, in rural parts of New Jersey and Pennsylvania, they sometimes have these corn field mazes. Did any of you ever go on one? I never have. What they do is they take a corn field and they make pathways in the corn field, and these pathways are in the form of a maze. And you go into this maze, and you're supposed to find your way through the maze, and it's pretty confusing. And in fact, last fall, I remember seeing a news article that a family went into one of these mazes, couldn't find their way out. It was starting to get dark. They got very frightened. They called 911. Please come rescue us. We're lost in this cornfield maze. And you can imagine that's possible to become lost in one of those mazes. It's very ironic to be lost in that maze because of the corn stalks. The corn stalks, of course, are tall, maybe 6, 7, 8 feet tall, so you can't see over the top of the corn stalks. Suppose, however, you could somehow lift yourself up just a few feet. You're already 5, 6 feet tall, so if you could just raise yourself up a couple more feet, so that your head was sufficiently above the top of the corn stalks, from that vantage point above the maze, you could see the layout of the entire maze, and seeing the layout, you can figure out the way to get out of that maze. That's an interesting metaphor, because it suggests that the maze we're stuck in is very, very complex. The maze of life that we're stuck in is a very complicated maze. But in order to see the way out, one need only rise up slightly. Do you have to go up thousands of feet to see the layout of the maze? Not thousands of feet, just a few feet. If you can go out a few feet, you can make out the maze from above. This suggests that in contemplation, if we can elevate ourselves, figuratively speaking, if we can lift ourselves up enough to get the big perspective on our lives, this is what we're talking about now. If we can get a big clear perspective on the maze of our life, then with that perspective, we can navigate the complexities of life so much better. And that's what our meditation is about. It's an exercise which attempts to lift us up to a perspective from which we can reflect on our whole lives. Now, what is the perspective? What is that perspective from which we can reflect on our entire lives? If you think about it, the best perspective to reflect on our entire life would be the perspective from the end of our life. Of course, we don't know when that'll be. So let us do this. For the purpose of this meditation, let us imagine that we're all going to die at the age of 90. That's not a bad age. So let's just imagine. I don't know, maybe it's too late, too early, whatever your judgment is. Every person will feel differently, but just to use a number. Imagine we're going to die at the age of 90. And now, for the purpose of this meditation, we're actually going to imagine being at that age, but in the best case scenario of our own death. Best case scenario of our own death means you're at home, you're laying in your own bed, you're pain-free, you're clear-headed, you're surrounded by all your family and loved ones, and most importantly, you feel a sense of completeness about your life. You feel like it's time to go. You feel like you're ready to move on. So this is our best case scenario of the end of our lives. So imagine being in that situation, having reached the ripe age of 90, laying in your own bed, in your own home, in your own bedroom, surrounded by your closest family members and perhaps friends, relatives, etc., those who are closest to you, those who love you so much. Imagine also, very importantly, completely pain-free and clear-headed, because there's no guarantee of any of this, of course. But for the sake of this meditation, we create this best case scenario of our own death. That's a perspective. Imagine being in that situation and looking back on your life. What would that be like to be at the age of 90, looking back at our lives, looking back at the decisions we made during each portion of our lives, and seeing how those decisions contributed to the direction our lives took, to the way our lives unfolded. That's perspective from the age of 90, close to our death, is the equivalent of rising up above the cornfield so that you can see the big picture of the maze of your life. Now, the way this works, and we'll begin in just a few minutes, we will begin with a prayerful reflection, imagining ourselves at the end of our lives, and then we're going to examine decade by decade the decisions we've made. We're going to start with a decade of our 20s. Why? Because in the decades of our, of the first two decades of your life, who makes the decisions? You or your parents? Right. So we're examining the decisions we make. So for that reason, we're going to start with a decade of our 20s. Then we'll examine a decade of our 30s and 40s. At some point, we will cross your current age. When we cross your current age, then you're going to imagine what will be the decisions you'll make at that age. When you go in 60s, 70s, 80s, you'll imagine what will be the decisions you make then. You'll find that these decisions, so you get some clarity from that perspective at the age of 90. Let me just give an example. From the age of 90, looking back on your life, looking back on the decisions you've made, let's just look at a couple of examples. Do you think looking back on your life, you will regret not having watched more television? I don't think anyone is going to regret their decision about watching television like that, of their decision not to watch more television, no one will have that feeling. But now let's get a little bit more real. Some of you are dealing with this major decisions in life, like when to retire. At the age of 90, looking back on your life, do you think that you would really feel, oh, I wish I had worked another 10 years? You might, but it's perhaps unlikely. How about other decisions? About some of you are dealing with decisions, oh, should we downsize? Our children have all moved out. We have this big home. Should we? These are important decisions, major decisions, retirement, downsizing, how to best take care of your parents for some of you. Major decisions. And when we're stuck in that maze of life, it's sometimes very difficult to make these decisions. So in our contemplation that we're about to undertake, it'll attempt to lift us up just a little bit above that maze of our lives so we can get the big picture of our lives. And from that perspective, perhaps we can gain some insight about the flow of our lives, about the decisions we've made in the past, how they have shaped our lives, and about the decisions we are making today and tomorrow, next week, next month, and how those decisions will shape and mold our lives. With this big perspective, looking at the whole of our lives, we can perhaps gain some insight and make better decisions. In our meditation, we will, in between each section, we will prayerfully chant a mantra. The mantra is Om Namo Narayanaya. Namo is the word Namaha, salutations. Narayanaya means unto Narayana, Narayana being a name for Lord Vishnu. So I'll introduce the proper chanting of that mantra, and then from in between each decade, then we'll return to some brief chanting.